Hello and welcome back to the Politics Unboxed podcast. My name is Reese, and well, did anything political happen whilst I was off over the weekend? No? Oh well, this should be a nice calm podcast then. Sorry, I'm just hearing that the health secretary's resigned. Right. Well, I sort of better get to it on the podcast then. So. No surprises here. Today, we're going to be talking about Matt Hancock and how he is no longer the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care and how that role is now with the former Chancellor, Sajid Javid. So, how did Hancock go? Why did he go? And what does the return of Javid to the Cabinet mean for him, for the Cabinet itself, for the current Chancellor, and the Prime Minister? So all to come on today's episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. So I think it would be fair to say that it's not been a great few weeks for Matt Hancock. First up, we had Dominic Cummings really going after him in the testimony he gave to the Health Science and Technology Committees. Then we had the leaked WhatsApp suggesting Boris Johnson had called him effing hopeless, and now he is out of a job. The now former health secretary really tried to cling on, and finally he has lost that grip. Matt Hancock is gone. The former health secretary now, who essentially banned casual relationships for a year, was caught out disobeying the guidance himself, and then somehow tried to hold on to the position. It's almost like he was expecting two different standards to be applied here. Interesting. This is the end of Matt Hancock in certainly the health role, almost certainly in the rest of any positions in this government. And it's very much out. There we go. Gone. Bye-bye. Hancock. In is Sajid Javid, the former Chancellor, who has already been in many of the key jobs in government, but we will talk about him later. First off, let's talk about how Matt Hancock went, because for some it will be a surprise for Matt Hancock to go over this, because he has, well, been alleged to have done some pretty bad things. He was alleged to have lied to Parliament, to the Cabinet and the Prime Minister, to have misappropriated funds in some allegations, to have held back testing on purpose to try and meet targets. And yet, just to add to that list, he hired his friend, Dido Harding, to run the test and trace system, which didn't work. He also gave Dido Harding that role as interim head of the UK's new health protection agency in an untransparent appointment, according to Labour. And he has now gone because of, a major, major mistake. This is far from actually a mistake. This was something that he chose to do. He has had an affair, essentially, with close colleague and aide, Gina Colodangelo. There we go. And as a married father of three, it's I know it's harsh to boil this down to optics, but well, it really does not look good, and it has caused him to lose his job. This comes from The Sun, who broke the story on Thursday about a secret affair with his closest aide, who he hired last year with taxpayers' money as an aide to him. And if anyone has seen the videos, then well, it's quite interesting, because he comes into this office, he checks the door, he makes sure no one's watching through the door or outside of the door or whatever, and then seems to forget that sometimes rooms like this in the government have CCTV cameras. And that is a balls up. He's really made a cock of himself there, Matt Hancock. And not only that, but he has betrayed the trust of his wife and family, and is potentially on his way to ruining not just one, but two relationships, because Miss Colodangelo is also married. Now, she is, well, married to Oliver Tress and a communications director at Oliver Bonas, which is a fashion and lifestyle store. I believe she has a couple of children, but I'm not quite certain about that. And, well, Matt Hancock grew close to her after being appointed as advisors. Although they first met in Oxford University in the early 2000s when they were working on student radio together. And this is quite a story. Matt Hancock, well, he's gone because of it. It could have been any one of his errors and mistakes, but this is the thing that got him. And it seems, well, strange that this is what got him. And it's not necessarily the fact that he was having an affair, because that has become, far from a sackable issue, it almost seems like a prerequisite to, well, to becoming a senior politician nowadays. We know the Prime Minister's had several affairs. But no, it's because he broke the laws and rules and guidance that he helped to set with this colleague. Now, it is interesting that Boris Johnson tried to defend him, and many senior government ministers tried to defend him. Grant Shapps, the Transport Secretary, saying it was a deeply personal matter. The general line seemed to be, this is personal and shouldn't interfere with his job and his role as Health Secretary, or Health and Social Care Secretary, in fact. He's gone. We no longer have to talk about Matt Hancock as the Health and Social Care Secretary. We have to talk about him as the former Health and Social Care Secretary. Well, well, well. Also, in a delicious bit of irony here, a year before the taking of these photos that came from a security camera that I'm actually going to have to talk about a little bit later on, he was talking about the actions of Professor Neil Ferguson, who was, I believe, on the Sage Committee and quit as a government advisor after there was a Telegraph report that a woman he was said to be in a relationship with had visited his home in lockdown. And at the time, Hancock told Sky News it was, quote, just not possible for Professor Ferguson to continue advising the government, saying that the social distancing rules, quote, are there for everyone and are, quote, deadly serious. Now he has broken the guidance he helped to set. He has possibly also, and probably, broken the ministerial code by not maintaining high standards of behaviour and behaving in a way that upholds the highest standards of propriety. I would say that that does it. Although, whether or not they do meet the standards of breaking the ministerial code, it's up to the Prime Minister to decide whether the independent advisor on ministerial interests can look into a minister, according to Dr. Catherine Haddon from the Institute of Government. And Downing Street says that Boris Johnson had accepted Matt Hancock's apology and considered the matter closed before the Health Secretary stepped down on Saturday. So that's that. Bye-bye, Hancock. And hello, Sajid Javid, who is the new Health and Social Care Secretary, who served as Home Secretary under Theresa May and was Chancellor for 6 months under Boris Johnson, resigning following tensions with Dominic Cummings, who was then the Prime Minister's chief advisor, apparently being told he would have to sack his own own advisors in order to sort of merge the number 10 and number 11 Downing Street offices, which he said was something, quote, no self-respecting minister could accept. Now, Javid is the MP for Bromsgrove. He's been there since 2010, was born in Rochdale. He's a father of four, and he's held a number of those top jobs, as I said, Home Secretary and Chancellor. And now he is at the Health Department. So he's been at the highest seats of power, and now he's at another very, very powerful position, certainly at the time. He is definitely an experienced hand in this particular role, but does he have the necessary health experience? Well, I don't know. He is certainly a much smoother appointment than others the Prime Minister could have picked. If he had to pick, I don't know, Michael Gove, as was being rumoured, or Nadeem Zahawi, as was also being rumoured, then he would have had to have reshuffled his top team to make spaces and fill those gaps placed. And Boris Johnson, unwilling to do that. He says he's still very comfortable with that top team, has confidence in them. Some would question that. But anyway, this is an interesting appointment, not least because this is Sajid Javid, the former Chancellor. He's also been Business Secretary and Community Secretary as well in previous roles before being Home Secretary. The former Chancellor, now in Cabinet, alongside the man who took his place. The man who was Chief Secretary to the Treasury under Sajid Javid as Chancellor, Rishi Sunak. So will he get on well with Mr. Sunak, the man who took his job after agreeing to Dominic Cummings' demands of sacking advisers and coming into a merged 1011 Downing Street policy office? How will he do with that? And how will he do with the issues at hand as Health Secretary? Because there are challenges that Sajid Javid will face. First off, he has to hit the ground running. There is the ongoing vaccine deployment, and he has Nadeem Zahawi, a minister in post. Some will raise questions about Zahawi's abilities in that office. But also, in the realms of the NHS, Sir Simon Stevens, who is the head of NHS England, is set to leave at the end of next month and will apparently be a very hard act to follow, with the leadership of the health and social care departments in England being at the hands of two newcomers, which could be a big unsettling factor for the NHS. As well as that, Javid will have to be brought up to speed very quickly on the daily developments of data and advice from Sage, and making balanced judgments about what's right, both with the nation's health in mind and the economy. Now, the vaccination programme is advanced, but there could be a rollout of booster jabs in the autumn, and potentially a flu campaign making things even more complex than what's been run up to now, because they're now suggesting that the flu could be more virulent this year. We know that the flu does tend to get a bit more transmissible and more serious once people aren't getting it for a year, and people haven't really been getting the flu because they haven't been in close enough contact to get the flu because of COVID restrictions. Anyway, now, long COVID as well is something that's going to be knocking on his door for his attention, and this new job will be extremely energetic for Sajid Javid. It'll be quite a key change from his roles on the backbench and at JP Morgan, which I believe he took up a post in after removing himself from his job as Chancellor. And he will really have to hit the ground running. Really will have to hit the ground running on this. As well as that, there are cases to be made for extra funding to the NHS, with a waiting list now of 5.1 million patients in England, being the highest since modern records began. And potentially, this could be something working in Sajid Javid's corner, because as a former Chancellor, he will know what arguments to use to try and squeeze money out of the Treasury. Anyway, let's leave that one there. I'm going to very briefly talk about a side topic that I mentioned about a week ago in the French regional elections. Just a quick overview. Mainly, it is looking like victory for centre-right Republicans, or Les Républicains, as the far-right party National Rally, or Rallye National, under Marine Le Pen, have failed to win their regions, it looks like, as results from the second round of French regional elections come in. Emmanuel Macron and his party, La République En Marche, have failed to win control of any region after performing very badly in the first round held last week. It looks like being a centre-right victory in these elections, but I'm sure I'll be able to give some updates more on that tomorrow. Anyway, that is all we have time for today on the Politics Unboxed podcast, so I want to thank you very much for listening. If you have enjoyed today's episode, then please do give us a rating and let us know any feedback you have. Any feedback is more than appreciated. If you want to get in touch, then please do reach out. We have Instagram at politics.unboxed, Twitter at politicsu, the letter U, and Facebook, search for Politics Unboxed. If you want to get in touch via email, then you can. It's politics.unboxed@outlook.com, and our website is www.politicsunboxedpodcast.wordpress.com. That is all for today. Thank you very much for listening. I hope to see you all around again soon for the next episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. And until then, goodbye.